Well, thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us, another day. Lord, we know that your coming is nigh. You're preparing a people, a bride, a holy church. And through all that we face in this life, Lord, we know that you are faithful. You are with us, and you will help us through every situation. Lord, you said when we go through the waters that you would be with us. And through the rivers, they would not overflow us. We trust in you. You are faithful to do what you promised to do. So, Lord, today I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you will impart to me what I need right now, Lord, to impart to your people. Oh, Lord, I know that I'm nothing but a clay vessel. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Lord, it's because of you we are who we are today. It's because of your mercy that we're saved. And so we look to you today, Lord, for our help. It comes from the Lord, it comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth. So, Lord, we pray that our hearts will be changed, our minds will be renewed, our souls will be restored. That each one of us, Lord, will be mutually edified, built up, strengthened in the faith, and prepared for every good work. Lord, that you will make us strong in your might, Lord. We pray, Lord, just the fresh baptism with your Holy Spirit and fire. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. I don't know how many of you ever spend any time on YouTube. It's easy to get caught up in YouTube land. And there's so much right now. We are experiencing an information overload. Amen. And so we need to really be careful that we don't neglect the most important true prophecy, amen, that we have right here, the Word of God, and seeking to find out what God is saying. Because if we look around in our world today and we realize, you know, what's happening, at least from our own perspective, because we live in our own little world here in the Northwest. You know, the Northwest is not necessarily an example of every place in the country. How many agree with that? There are different, this is a large country, there's different cultures, there's different people. But there are problems everywhere because there's sin everywhere, because there's a devil that's active. And he's about, you know, destroying people's lives. And and, you know, if we will guard ourselves, he can't touch us. Amen. If we would guard ourselves, he won't have any access to us. So we're not supposed to yield in any way to temptation and allow him legal access to us so he can do his dirty work in us. God is beginning and doing a work in us, and God wants to bring us to fruition. And so one of the things that God wants to do is to deliver us from every evil work, amen, and sanctify us, to set us apart completely for him. That's what sanctification means. It means being set apart, and we're progressively being sanctified. How many are different today than you were a couple years ago? Amen. God has been doing a work, right? But there needs to be also a cooperation in that work. And so God is looking for not golden vessels, if you will, but yielded vessels. God chooses to use flawed vessels, amen. And that would be you and me, right? And so don't wait until you're perfect to start serving the Lord, amen. Let the Lord use you in the areas where he's already brought you through and the victories you already won in his name, amen. Those are the places where you can help others. If you've been set free from something, God can help and use you to help somebody else get set free from something. Amen. If you've been comforted by the Lord, you can be in a position now to comfort somebody else that may be experiencing something similar to what you've gone through. So don't wait, amen, until you've got all of your ducks in a row and everything is perfect and now I'm ready to serve the Lord. No, start today with the simple thing of thanking God, amen, giving God praise for the work he's done in your life. The word of your testimony is powerful. Somebody needs to hear your story. And on Wednesday nights, that's what we're doing. We're sharing our stories. And I want you to come out, join us Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And we're just having a great time of learning, you know, each other through that, and seeing how the Lord has worked so powerfully in people's lives. You know, we meet for a few minutes, we shake a few hands, and we say hello, but that doesn't mean we really know each other. Amen? And so, but if you hang out with somebody, or if you let somebody tell their story, then you can kind of get a better idea of who they are. And communication, you know, most of communication is listening, right? So that we can get to know the heart of the one speaking. So we can have a response that's good. Sometimes we're ready to respond before the person's finished talking, right? Because we're just in a hurry to tell them what we got to tell them. But it's very important that we are good listeners. We're what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, right, James? So three things, three questions. Number one is, well, what is God saying right now? How many are asking that question? How many know what God is saying right now? I think you have an idea maybe, huh? What is God saying right now? What is God doing? And what can I do to prepare for the future? How do I get myself ready for what's coming? What is God saying? What is God doing? You see, we need to first of all understand what God is saying and what God is doing before we're able to partner with Him in what He's doing. Sometimes we have good ideas of how we want to serve the Lord. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've spent some time, you know, doing things that were good, but they weren't really what God asked me to do. Amen. And you just kind of spin out on that, burn out on that, and there's no fruit in that. So what we need to do is find out what God is saying and what God is doing, and then partner with Him in what He's saying and what He's doing. And because whatever He's doing is already blessed. You don't have to ask God to bless, all right, what He approves. It's already blessed. It already has a stamp of approval on it. Find out what He's doing, what He's saying. Partner with Him in that, and you'll have a blessed life in the Lord. So what is God saying? Well, first of all, He's given us this eternal word, hasn't He? A sure word of prophecy. It's never going to pass away. What He says He will do. And He speaks to us today by His Holy Spirit, has He not? He's given us His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to lead us into all truth. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, I want to look at that this morning, verse 16, starting out. Peter's recounting his personal experience he had with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration with James and John. And in verse 16, he said, "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw His majestic splendor with our own eyes. When He received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to Him, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard that voice from heaven, and when we were with Him on the holy mountain, and because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets." You must pay close attention to what they wrote. What is he saying? We have a sure word of prophecy. Amen? Pay attention to it. Keep the prophetic word before you. Amen? It was written down for our admonition. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. So these Old Testament prophets had predicted, right, the Lord's coming in power and great glory. And when they had that experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, it just confirmed those prophecies that were written about our Lord. So the apostles were given an advanced glimpse, if you will, of the glory of the Lord. Amen? In His future kingdom reign. The prophetic word here is really the shining light. It's that word of prophecy. Amen? And the dark place is the world. The word of God enters in, amen, the light of the truth enters in to the darkness, amen. And light always overcomes the darkness. Truth always overcomes the lie. So the dawning of the day signals the end of this present church age. We see that in Romans 13:12. You can look it up. The rising of the morning star pictures the Lord Christ, amen, coming for his saints. And Peter is saying that we need to continually keep that prophetic word before us. We need to remind ourselves, amen, of what the Lord had already promised us. And we should treasure the word of God in our hearts. Why? Because it will serve as a light in this present dark world while we await the glorious, visible appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ to gather us to himself. So, question, what is God saying? Well, God says, first of all, stop panicking, stop worrying about your life, about the future. Amen. Don't worry about the things that you hear. Don't worry about the things that you see happening around you. We're not to live in fear, but we're to walk by faith in the Son of God, the faithful one. Matthew 6:31, how many know this? So don't worry about these things. This is a reminder saying, what will we eat? What shall we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen. The enemy wants to bog us down with so many things. He wants us to become worry warts. Have you ever run into any worry warts? You ever been a worry wart? So God wants us to let go of these things and completely trust him and draw near to him. That's where we find our peace. That's where we find our rest. Amen. In his presence. Isn't it interesting how sometimes life can seem so big and our problems so impossible, yet when you draw near to God, they start to shrink. The closer you get to Jesus, the smaller your problems become. And the more manageable they are. All of a sudden, now you're starting to see things clearly from his perspective, heaven's perspective. So the closer we draw to God, the clearer things become. Isn't that true? We come into the light. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord how often? Always. For the Lord God is the eternal rock. You know, we cannot walk in darkness and expect to see clearly. If you want to see clearly, you got to come completely out of the darkness. Amen. Untether yourself from everything, amen, that would hinder you. All right. And your walk with the Lord. Get rid of the weights in your life. Those may be the good things, but they're bogging you down. They're preventing you from accomplishing the will of God for your life and becoming who he wants you to become. There has to be cooperation from us. The reason so many people are deceived today is because they refuse to come into the light. That's why people are doing the crazy things they're doing. That's why you and I have done crazy things in our lives, because of a lack of light. Jesus is the light of the world. Draw near to him. In John 3:20, he said, all who do evil hate the light, and they refuse to go near it. For what reason? For fear their sins will be exposed. Without the light of Christ, we are spiritually blind. Now listen, I know what it's like to have a guilty conscience. I know what it's like to feel paranoid that somebody will discover me or find me out. Amen. But praise God, today I don't live in that fear or that paranoia or that guilt or that shame, because I've been forgiven by Jesus. Amen. That's been settled. Hallelujah. And I don't give myself over to those things anymore. I've not only confessed those things, but I have done what? Renounce them, right? I've rejected those sinful ways and I've turned to Jesus. He's pardoned me. He's forgiven me. Amen. And he's given me his Holy Spirit. He's given me the ability to control what I do in my flesh now, in my body, right? So if we're unable to recognize God's voice, then we can easily be deceived by false teachers and prophets. Jesus said again, John 10:27, how many know this? My sheep hear my voice, right? and I know them and they follow me. So it's vitally important that we just don't memorize this verse, but we actually understand what it's saying is I need to know the voice of the Lord. I need to know when God is speaking to me. How can I tell the difference between, you know, my own thoughts or the enemy and what God is saying? And so I want us to take a little time this morning to focus on this. How can I determine the true word of the Lord today? How can I know when God is speaking to me? James gave us some clear principles for determining what is right and what is God's voice and what is not God's voice. And it's possible for someone to quote scriptures well, but not necessarily be in harmony with God's Spirit. Isn't it true? It's possible to know a lot of scriptures, but not be in harmony with the Spirit of the Lord. How many know the enemy can quote scriptures, right? James said in James 3:17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, what? Gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's sincere. What does it mean by pure? It means holy. When the Lord's speaking, His word is true. It's holy. Amen. It's in line with God's holy character, His nature. So if it's a true word of the Lord, it will not contradict who God is and His person. And then we need to ask the question, is it also peaceable? I mean, even if it's a word of warning of possible judgment, we have to ask the question, is God's peace present in that word? Because there are people that are apocalyptic, and they're always talking about judgment and fire and brimstone. And yet, when you hear the word, it's like nails on a chalkboard. Amen? The peace of God is not in that. Is the word peaceable? Because even if it is a word of warning, it will have the Lord's presence attached to it. Are you hearing me? When God speaks, it is a word of life. Even if it's corrective in nature, it is a word of life. It is to give life, to impart life to us. And correction will lead us into the way of life. Amen? In His way. So also it says, is the word gentle and submissive? Is it in agreement with God's heart? His nature, His character again. Remember, Jesus submitted Himself to His Father's will. He did not speak on His own authority, and neither should we. You see, we can just pull scriptures out of the hat, and we can speak those scriptures or preach those scriptures, but are they the heart of God? Is that what God wants you to speak? A word in season, how good it is. When it is a word that God is speaking, it is life-giving. It is transformational. Amen? I need to be in agreement with the Spirit of God. My heart needs to be right with God in order for me to speak authentically for Him. Is the word full of mercy? Well, God is merciful, right? Mercy is compassionate or kindly forbearance shown towards an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power. If a judge was being merciful, amen, He was giving them a break, amen, when they didn't deserve it. That's also grace, isn't it? But mercy is the disposition to be compassionate or forbearing with one another. So when we bring a word from the Lord, if it is a word from the Lord, even corrective word, amen, it will always be full of the mercy of God. How many know that to whom much is forgiven, the same loves much? People who have been forgiven much tend to be more merciful towards others who are in the place where they used to be. Because they know that used to be me. Amen? And I can't be so condescending and condemning and judgmental when I know it was by the mercy of God that I was saved. You have a different perspective. Amen. If somebody's never been in that, they may not have the same empathy even towards that person. You see, God hates sin, but God loves, as you know, the sinner, and he wants the sinner to be saved. And so when we entreat the word to somebody, we have to remember that it was by the mercy of God that we were saved. Amen. So if I'm going to bring a word, I need to bring it in the right spirit. Is the word self-righteous or condemning? We need to ask that. Because we need to refrain from making judgments based on our own personal opinions or standards, like the Pharisees, right? And not the word of God. Does the word bear good fruit? You know? Or is it likely to cause harm? Have you ever heard a word spoken over you? Somebody said, the Lord told me to tell you this. And the word was accurate as far as scripturally accurate. But the spirit of delivery was vile. You felt defiled. I'm not talking about conviction, but I meant you felt like somebody just vomited on you. You see, we need to be very careful. We need to be discerning of the spirits that are operating around us, even in the pulpits. Amen. What spirit are they operating in? Who's actually speaking through that vessel? Is the word without partiality, it says, right? Without partiality. That means without favoritism. I'll give you this word. I'll give him that word, but to him he doesn't get the same word. Are you hearing me? That's the challenging thing of preaching to a group of people, is everybody's in a different place and people have different understanding. And sometimes you can say one thing and mean something, and there can be several different interpretations of what you just said. And some people think, that was a great word, that's what I needed to hear. Other people say, what did you mean by that? Or that was a false word, you know, or that was false doctrine, or you know. How many know we can't even understand the word unless the Holy Spirit allows us to hear it and understand it? And if you're not willing to yield to the Holy Spirit and humble yourself, you're not going to be in a position to receive revelation from him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, right? They'll be filled. Is the word without hypocrisy? Is it consistent with what God would say or do? Again, God's nature. So we need to know the Lord. We need to practice his presence. We need to be with the Lord. We need to be in his word. We need to be in prayer so that we're coming to know the heart of the Lord. Amen. So when we hear a word, we can recognize, even if it is scripturally accurate, we can recognize the spirit that's operating. How many know we have a kindred spirit here? If we're people of the Holy Spirit, amen, there's like a family, right, unity here. And we may not agree 100% on anything, all right, but it does mean that we are still united in our hearts together as a family. And our hearts, I meant, are to build one another up, to edify the body of Christ. And we work together under the Lord's authority to accomplish that. Another question we need to ask is, when you hear a prophetic word or somebody says, oh, I have a word from the Lord for you, you know, does that word advance God's agenda, his will, his kingdom? And does it produce the good fruit of God's righteousness? 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, he who prophesies speaks edification, building up, right? Exhortation, encouragement, even to correct the future, and comfort to men. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, as Timothy was being instructed by Paul, preach the word of God, be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently do what? Correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. So we need to ask the question, does this word bring strength, encouragement, correction, and comfort? If it doesn't, it's not from the Lord. Amen? If it's not peaceable, it's not of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:12, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, Let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Why do we ask God for His power, for His giftings? It should always be with the motivation to be a blessing to others. Amen? To be a vessel for God that He could work through to touch others. We want to see the Lord glorified. Our job is not to point people to ourselves, is it? But to point them to Jesus. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always does what? Points people to Jesus. Hallelujah. He doesn't make a god out of the pastor or the minister, right? The enemy would do that. So again, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So ask yourself this question. Does this word edify or build up the church? Am I doing this out of love for others or to gain attention to myself? Ooh. Am I doing this to build up others or to gain attention to myself? Am I asking God for power and gifts so I can be on display before men? Or that I might be able to present Christ to people? Because a genuine word from God will always agree with the Word of God, won't it? It'll always agree with Scripture or with the principles of Scripture. So God gave us His Word. It's the ultimate provision that we have in order to discern what is and what is not of God. Amen. That's why we need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to be in the Word. Amen. We need to know what God says. And He gives us His Spirit. Amen. And the Spirit will confirm the Word of the Lord to us. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need the Spirit and the Word working together in us. All right? What is God currently doing? This is the other question. We know God is saying, you know, don't worry, draw near. Amen. Prepare, for the coming of the Lord draws near. But what is He doing? Well, He's sending out laborers into the harvest with the message of the gospel. He's calling you and I to partner with Him and take in the gospel, amen, to the earth. He's looking for those who will partner with Him in His mission because He wants people to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that, what? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They should change their heart, change their mind, turn back to the Lord. Matthew 28:19, we know this, go therefore and do what? Make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do what? Observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So God is also preparing His church, isn't He, for the day of His soon return. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify, right, set apart, cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that He might present her, the church, to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So God wants a pure people, a pure bride. Now, what can I do to be pure, to be ready to meet the Lord? Well, we know, amen, that we need to purify our hearts. Well, God can change my heart. But if I cooperate with God in that process through confession, being honest about myself, amen, admitting it when I'm guilty, when I've done something I shouldn't, confessing that first, and then renouncing it, amen, and then you break the legal authority of the enemy to try to come in and steal from you, amen, to destroy you, or to continue to harass you in that area. Once you've been forgiven, amen, by the Lord, that legal right of the enemy is no longer there. It's been canceled in Jesus' name. And that's why when you make that renouncing of that way, amen, you do so with authority because the Lord has forgiven you and He's authorized you now to enforce what He's done in your life. For example, when the Lord forgives me, I thank the Lord for doing that. I'll say, Lord, thank You according to Your promise. if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me. Amen. So I receive that forgiveness. I walk in that, and I don't receive back, amen, that offense from the enemy who wants to bring it back to you again and say, would you like this back? Just say, no, thank you, devil. I'm forgiven. Amen. God has set me free from that. He's not going to hold it against me any longer. So what is God currently doing? Well, he's sending out these labors, right? He's calling you and I to partner with him. He's preparing us to be a holy people, a bride. You know, I say it often, but those who will be ready for the Lord are those who are looking for the Lord. And those who are looking for the Lord are those who are living for the Lord. How can I prepare for the future? Well, the best way to prepare is to turn away from you and turn to the Lord. Draw near to God. James 4:8, and he will what? Draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. There it is again. Cleansing your hands speaks of the outer life. Purifying your heart speaks of the inner thought life. How do I purify my heart? Well, through confession and what? Renouncing sin. By confessing and renouncing of sins, we block the devil from having any legal access to us. And it, again, confession means what? An admission, right? Of guilt. And to renounce basically means to utterly reject. That's the simple way to say it. As I reject that way, I reject the enemy, I reject his ways in my life. Amen. No longer am I going to follow him. Hallelujah. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, you also, talking about a born-again believer, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is anybody here this morning dead to sin? How many here are dead to sin? If you're in Christ Jesus, amen, then you have already been set free from the power of sin. You are actually dead to it. But you must believe to receive that freedom. I accept the truth that I am free from the power of sin, and therefore I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer subject to sin. But I can live proactively for the Lord and for His glory now. Amen. And if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. Praise God. I can turn to Jesus. It doesn't mean I'm without, because I still have that old nature. Amen. But it does mean that I am set free from the power of that nature. And it can no longer dominate me unless I give it permission to by yielding to that nature. Because in Christ Jesus, I have been set free. I am dead to sin. But now I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. My victory is in walking in the Spirit. And as I walk in the Spirit, I don't gratify, right, the deeds of the flesh. The only place of true security is in the stronghold of God's presence. I know a lot of people now are prepping and wondering what's going to happen. Is the grid going to go out? Is they going to drop the bomb? You know, and I'm not opposed to people preparing, you know, for the possibility of something happening. But that cannot be our primary focus. What we need to do more than anything is draw near to God now. He is our security. He is our protection. Amen? He is our strong tower. Hallelujah, our deliverer. How many love Psalms 91? This is a good place to camp out right now, right? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. How many say that? My God, in Him I will trust. There's something about speaking the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. When you read, read out loud. Amen. If you can, read out loud. In your own hearing. God's severe judgments are coming. The Bible talks about it. They're coming. Things are happening quickly. Many suddenlies are happening throughout the earth. But his severe judgments are not reserved for his faithful ones. It's for the wicked. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 7 it says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. See, we've got to believe the word. We've got to speak the word. We've got to meditate on the word. Amen? And only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. God didn't redeem us to pour out his wrath upon us. He came to save. Amen. And blessed are those who trust in him. So as we draw near to God with a sure heart, our sincere heart and full assurance of faith, in the blood of Jesus, not in our own righteousness, having confessed and renounced our sinful ways, then we are in position to hear the true voice of God. So we draw near to God by way of the blood of the new covenant. Amen. We make our confession. We renounce our sinful ways. Amen. We receive his forgiveness. Hallelujah. And then we are in a position to receive the revelation. All right? Of him. That's to know his voice, to hear his voice, to recognize his voice. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. So even the foundations of society, if the foundations of society are crumbling and the kingdoms are toppling and disintegrating and the nations of the world are in upheaval and political and economic and social confusion. Anybody notice any of that going on these days? What we need to remember is verse 7 of Psalms 46. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's saying all these things. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. You know, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So no matter what happens in the days to come, we need to remember this. God is with us. God himself is with us. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our help. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Therefore, we will not fear. How many know that God does not want his people to be fearful about any of these things? He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to trust in his faithfulness. He wants us to rely upon his grace. Amen? Because by the grace of God, we can overcome this world. By the grace of God, we will be victorious. Amen. It's not of me, but it's of him. And my eyes are not on me as my Savior, but on Jesus, who is the one that will help me. Amen. Through every situation. Hallelujah. So in Hebrews 12:25, I end with this. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, who refused him who spoke on earth? Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us his Spirit. He's given us his Word, that we may know the things that are freely given to us. God wants us to trust in his provision, his protection, his care. Amen. God wants us to rely upon his grace. Amen. So that we will be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, so that we will not be trampled underfoot of men. Amen. But that we will reign in life with Jesus. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Somebody claim that today. Amen. So we will not fear. We will not worry. And when you find yourself being worried, just run to Jesus with it. Amen. And immediately cast it upon the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you that you will take care of me. You will protect me. You'll provide for me. You've got me in the palm of your hand, just like you promised. Amen. If the Lord be with us, who can be against us? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just take a moment to praise him this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Your presence is heaven to me. Lord, it's your presence that we want. We want you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. Glory to you. Jesus. Lord, we come to you for help. We come to you for strength. You are the strength of our life. Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, hallelujah. My Lord, thank you for always being there. Draw every one of us closer to you, Lord. Help us, Lord God. Deliver us from idols of the heart and other things that will seek to take your place in our lives. Lord, we want to be pure. We want to be faithful because you're always faithful to us. Help us, Lord. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. Amen.